Jesus was a master at taking things everyone in his day knew about. Things like mustard seeds and soil, sheep, yeast, hidden treasures and vineyards. A master at taking these ordinary everyday things and using them to teach folks about the kingdom of God, which was, of course, Jesus' ultimate focus and message. If he were speaking today, he'd use things familiar to us. Maybe a car with one bad spark plug. A worker more concerned about wages than quality of work. The computer with a defective monitor. Last Sunday's kingdom parable was about a sower, a farmer who went out with a bag of seeds and broadcast them in a wide arc onto mostly inhospitable ground, which nevertheless produced a most splendiferous harvest. And next Sunday, we'll hear about mustard seeds, yeast, and hidden treasures. These are metaphors, of course, and it's so important for us to understand that when you're talking about anything to do with God, it has to be via metaphor, because words are simply not enough, as Alistair says over and over. These are yet other metaphors of the coming creation, where love prevails and justice governs all. Today, we hear about another something we're all familiar with. Even those whose only acquaintance with agriculture is mowing lawns and planting container gardens. Weeds. Weeds among the good stuff. Weeds amongst the wanted stuff. In today's parable, Jesus likens the kingdom of God to a huge estate where wheat and weeds grow happily up together. The estate owner hadn't planned it that way. A so-called enemy, a disgruntled employee maybe, a fired former worker, an agrarian terrorist, comes, and while everybody's sleeping, sows weeds mixed with the wheat. Knowing who did this dastardly deed, the owner does something that's hard to believe. Something that Jesus uses in a very definite attempt to shock his listeners to the bone. Nothing. He does nothing. He doesn't send his workers to sow the culprit's field with crabgrass. He doesn't have him arrested and flogged in the village square. Because the nature of weeds is to wrap their wicked little roots around the tender, wheaty shoots, virtually guaranteeing weeding will result in widespread loss, the gardeners among us might reach for that nasty Roundup. But the owner of this estate, and hear me, this is Jesus' stun gun. If we hadn't heard this parable so many times, maybe it would shock us. The owner does absolutely nothing at all. "Hands off those weeds till harvest time," he shouts. And everything in me screams, "What?" I am personally engaged in a perennial battle of the weeds. I'm engaged in this battle in the little strip of dirt our RV sits on. I am a perfectionist, documented and credentialed. Some of you know that very well. I admit it. When we moved onto the site several years ago, it looked like Vimy Ridge after the fighting, pockmarked and cratered and encrusted with weeds. Folks sitting in patio chairs had to struggle to stay upright. Leave the weeds alone, they're told. an order that catches my breath. Enter here the narrow way, the way very much less traveled. Or to quote one of my favorite people, Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. Urging a response to conflict and cruelty, not filled with vengeance, but with restorative justice. In other words, the way of Jesus. Here in this parable of the weeds, we encounter one of Jesus' memorable stories that get behind the fortified gates of society and its religions to utterly oppose all forms of payback. Mainstream religious thinking, and particularly our Western society and its criminal justice system, opts for vengeance levied against offense. You hurt me, I hurt you. A tit for a tat, an eye for an eye. Judgment for hurt always followed by punishment, right? Retaliatory treatment called retributive justice. Punishment follows offense, particularly if you're the one or I'm the one who's been offended. We don't tend to question this response, even at the same time acknowledging Jesus' constant call to love no matter what. As a Christian, though, and especially as a former cop and later probation official, I've struggled with the correlation between love and justice all my life, particularly after hearing Reinhold Niebuhr's powerful declaration, love without justice is mere sentimentality. Let me say that again. Love without justice is mere sentimentality. True justice, Jesus's kind, is focused on the other's well-being, not the other's downfall, and is guided by compassion. Love not grounded on compassion is empty, like Valentine's Day cards dripping sweetness that's artificial and hollow. Today's parable of the weed sharply opposes our natural human response to judge and to lash out for being hurt. It's instinctive to lash out, and we naturally assume if it's our instinct, it's got to be God's instinct as well when we cause hurt, when we sin. The God portrayed by much of Western Christianity is a God who keeps score and casts sinners into hell. A God whose own Son is punished for our sins and dies as humanity's scapegoat. If you haven't heard of a punishment called hell, you haven't attended many churches. Divine judgment and punishment follow disobedience and sin, right? They've got to, because that's the way it works for us. But here's the rub. Jesus came to show us real truth. God's refusal to judge and condemn you and to condemn me and to condemn the world ever. I came, said Jesus, not to condemn the world. I came in order to save it. The workers ask, understandably, if they're to gather up or judge the weeds, symbols of sin or brokenness. But the master says, no, don't you judge between the two. I'll handle it at harvest time, at kingdom come time. The point of this stunning parable, like Jesus, God never, and this is so hard Because I know most of us will have trouble even hearing this, let alone believing it. God never judges or condemns or punishes, but works to restore us and make us new. Wait until harvest time, the master tells the workers. Wait until harvest time, God tells you and me. Wait until kingdom time, when the one who most loves us is the one who will do the judging, the one who will make us whole. This whole parable is a call to patience and tolerance in the face, the ugly face of evil. A divine and, yes, radical call to refuse our human instinct to strike back. And it's one of the reasons we kill Jesus, isn't it? That we kill the Prince of Peace. His call to turn our swords into plowshares and love our neighbors, regardless of what they do. Who can do it? It sounds like a call almost to passive submission, a turn the other cheek to wrong. And God knows, of all the times in human history, this time is surely the most wrong. But even against the evils of our day, Jesus reminds us who we are and whose we are. Beloved children of that Prince of Peace who modeled patient love to defeat evil. When all is said and done, life can be ambiguous and motives actually hard to judge. Today's parable of the weeds reminds us we can't always accurately distinguish hurtful weeds from wanted wheat. And our human urge to clean up the world can at times be downright dangerous. Like everyone else, we're both wheat and weeds, and it's not always easy to tell the good guys from the bad. We're each of us both saint and sinner, and God alone knows the depths of our heart. That messy field, whether it be a field, the church, politics, or the human soul, belongs to the Creator alone. There's a stanza in a very old hymn by Malt B. Babcock that begins, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." That's hard to remember. We want to eliminate the bad and make things right. And of course, we're to respond to evil. This isn't a call to passivity. We're to respond to evil by speaking out and working against it. But this parable, this Sunday, adds a vital ingredient to faithful Christian response. We're to try our best, knowing that even at the best of times, we're down a quart. But we're to try our best to do whatever we do with a patience and tolerance I have trouble finding inside me. As utterly impossible as I personally find it, Jesus himself repeatedly responded to wrongdoing by anyone, toward anyone, including himself, by refusing to judge, condemn, or punish, and calls us to do the same. "You want to follow me?" he asks each and every one of us. "Okay, here's the deal. Do as I do. Don't judge. Don't hit back. Don't condemn, denounce, or punish ever. Love." At that command, I want to run. Because I want retributive justice. You hit me, I hit you back. But Jesus shows us the God who relentlessly calls us back to wholeness from sin's agonizing brokenness. If we don't remember anything else from this sermon today, and that's okay even if you don't, there are no tests. If you don't remember anything else, God's justice toward you and me and the entire creation is always a restorative justice. And we're to give as we ourselves are given. As Paul reminds us, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Reconciling the world. Bringing the broken and the divided together. Transforming ordinary sinful people into brand new creations. God bears all things, tolerates all things, and forever waits for the beloved to come home. Waits for us, all of us, to come home. Amen.